Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 9, the passing away of Bhishma Dev, text 43. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Suta Goswami said, thus Bhishma Dev merged himself into the Super Soul, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his mind, speech, sight, and actions. And thus he became silent and his breathing stopped. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The stage attained by Bhishma Dev while quitting his material body is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi, because he merged his self into thinking of the Lord and his mind into remembering his different activities. He chanted the glories of the Lord, and by his sight he began to see the Lord personally present before him. And thus all his activities became concentrated upon the Lord without deviation. This is the highest stage of perfection, and it is possible for everyone to attain this stage by the practice of devotional service. The devotional service of the Lord consists of 9 principles of service activities, and they are hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, worshipping, praying, executing the orders, fraternizing, and fully surrendering. Any one of them or all of them are equally competent to award the desired result, but they require to be practiced persistently under the guidance of an expert devotee of the Lord. The first item, hearing, is the most important item of all, and therefore hearing of the Bhagavad Gita and later on Srimad Bhagavatam is essential for serious candidate who wants to attain the stage of Bhishma Dev at the end. The unique situation of Bhishma Dev's time of death can be attained even though Lord Krishna may not be personally present. His words of the Bhagavad Gita or those of Srimad Bhagavatam are identical with the Lord. They are sound incarnations of the Lord, and one can fully utilize them to be entitled to attain the stage of Bhishma Dev, who was one of the 8 Vasus. Every man or animal must die at a certain age of life, but one who dies like Bhishma Dev attains perfection, and one who dies forced by the laws of nature dies like an animal. That is the difference between a man and an animal. The human form of life is specially meant for dying like Bhishma Dev. Suta Ubacha, Krishna evang Bhagavati, manobhag drishti vritti bhi, atmanatmanam avishya, so antasasha uparamat. So, Bhishma Dev is passing away. He was lying on a bed of arrows for quite a long time. Battle of Kurukshetra was over. His body fell, being pierced by innumerable arrows shot by Arjuna. They actually penetrated through his body, entered from the front and went out, didn't go out, but went through the body. Therefore, when he fell, he didn't touch the ground. He actually fell on a bed of arrows. And he had been lying there. He had the boon from his father that he would not die until he himself desired to. And so he took advantage of that. Like, he decided to die at a very auspicious time. He was apparently, from the can say from the mundane perspective, he was waiting for the Uttarayan, the sun, to move to the northern direction. The sun moves in the northern sphere and then southern sphere. And the Uttarayan is the auspicious time when the sun moves towards the north. And Kurukshetra, the Battle of Kurukshetra actually took place when the sun was moving in the southern direction. And then he was waiting apparently for the sun to move in the northern direction, waiting for an apparently auspicious time. But the real auspiciousness was actually for Krishna to come. And he was so fortunate that he could leave his body in Krishna's presence. Yudhishthira Maharaj was lamenting that he killed so many people and the Battle of Kurukshetra was fought because of him. And after becoming the king, after winning the battle, he was lamenting. And he went to Bhishma Dev lying in the battlefield of Kurukshetra along with Krishna and other family members. And the mic is not okay, I'm sorry. Like I should have. Hare Krishna. Is it better? Did you hear what I was saying before? So, and Krishna was there, and Yudhishthira Maharaj actually expressed his lamentation, and Bhishma Dev guided him with proper advice. Bhishma Dev was considered to be one of the most exalted personality of his time. In one hand, he was cursed by sage Vasishtha, and at the same time, he was also blessed that he would be endowed with all the wisdom, all the noble qualities, all the valor and strength. And so that's how he actually became the, apart from Krishna, you can say, and the Pandavas, he was, from that perspective, was the most exalted personality of that time. I mean, his life is so illustrious. Like, I said he was cursed. Does everybody know the background? Or should I say it?
Say it.
Say it. Okay. Bhishma Dev was actually one of the Vasus. There are 8 Vasus. There are different sets of demigods. Like there are 11 Rudras, and there are 8 Vasus. There are 12 Adityas. In this way, there are different categories of demigods. And the Vasus are one of them, 8 of them. So once they were flying through the space above the earth planet, and from their along with their wives, and from their chariots, they actually saw this beautiful cow called Nandini, the cow, the daughter of Surabhi, the celestial cow, this cow from Golok Vrindavan. Surabhi's daughter, Nandini. That's the only Surabhi in the earth planet, or you can say in the material nature. And so, and that cow was in possession of Vasishtha Muni. And so one of the Vasu's wives became very attracted to the cow, and she wanted to have that cow. The others told that, don't, you know, this belongs to Vasishtha and it's very dear to Vasishtha, and you know, don't desire that cow. But she kept on insisting and insisting, so apparently her husband agreed to comply to her pressure. And So they stole the cow. Vasishtha at that time was not in the ashram. So Nandini was stolen, and Vasishtha, when he came back, he couldn't find Nandini. So he saw through his vision, this saintly, these exalted spiritual personalities can see the time in three perspectives, past, present and future. Therefore, they are known as Trikalagyas or Trikaladarshis. So Vasishtha went into the past and saw what happened. And seeing that the Vasus had stolen the cow, he cursed them. That you are not fit to remain as a demigod in the heavenly planet. Go down to the earth planet because your nature is like that of human beings. And so when the Vasus became aware of that curse, they immediately came to Vasishtha, fell at his feet and said, please, please, withdraw your curse. Vasishtha said, look, when a word goes out of my mouth, it's bound to happen. So there is no way I can withdraw it. But anyway, if Mother Ganges agrees to become your mother, then... No, actually, yeah, then... No, it was a little different here. He cursed that you will fall down as human beings. And then upon their request, he said, okay, right after your birth, you'll be delivered. But the one who stole the cow, he'll have to stay there for a long, long time. But while he cursed that Vasu, his name is Du, he also said, but although he'll be living in the earth planet for a long, long time, but he will become one of the most illustrious personalities of that time. So he cursed at the same time he blessed. And then they consider, well, they'll be delivered right after their birth, but they have to stay in the womb of the mother for a long time, and that's going to be terrible. They decided that the only person that they could stay in the womb of is Mother Ganges. And so they approached Ganga, and Ganga agreed, fine. Now, you see, you will notice all these anecdotes, all the happenings of the past recorded in the scriptures, they actually have some background, some reason behind why this happened. This is actually indicating that behind every action, there is a cause. Nothing happens by chance or accident. Like, it relates to the past happenings indicate the future. And so there is another happening in the past. There was a very exalted personality called Mahabhisha. He was elevated to Sattaloka, the abode of Lord Brahma. And so once in the assembly of Brahma, when they all were sitting, Ganga actually came there. And in a breeze, Ganga's sari got shifted and her breast became exposed. So everyone casted his eyes downwards. But Mahabhisha, being enchanted by her beauty, just kept on looking at her. Brahma noticed that, and Brahma said, you are not qualified to stay in Sattaloka. And so go to the earth planet. And he also said that since you desired Ganga, you will get her as your wife. So this Mahabhisha came to the earth planet as King Shantanu, a very exalted king in the Moon dynasty, Chandravamsa. And Shantanu was very fond of hunting. The kings, the kshatriyas, the warriors, are usually very fond of hunting. So while he was hunting, he came across this extremely beautiful woman. And he expressed his desire to marry her. And she agreed on one condition, that I will marry you, provided you never question my acts and you never prevent me from anything that I try to do. So this was the happening from the past. And these Vasus actually approached Ganga. So Ganga, by this divine arrangement, became married to Shantanu. And these Vasus became her offsprings. The first child was born. And we can well imagine the scene, like that not only a child is being born, the king's first child is being born. The whole kingdom is vibrant with jubilation. But right after the child is born, what did Ganga do? She took the child and threw him in the river. Shantanu couldn't question, remembering the promise. In this way, one after another, 7 children were thrown in the river. When the 8th child was born, Shantanu could not retain himself. He just said, "Why are you doing that? Being a mother, you are just killing your own children. Please spare this one." Ganga said, "Fine, since you want it, I will spare this one. But since you broke your promise, I will leave you." Now you see the link. The 7 Vasus were delivered right after their birth, but the 8th one, Du, had to stay, and also for a long, long time. And Ganga said, since he needs my care, I will take him to the heavenly planet. And when he grows up, when he's becomes fit, then I'll bring him back to you. And that was Bhishma Dev. His original name was Devavrata. He grew up actually in the heavenly planet, educated by all the great sages, great personalities. Brihaspati taught him the Vedas. Sukracharya taught him diplomacy and politics. And Parashuram taught him the art of warfare, Dhanurveda. And this is how he grew up. And so time went by. Shantanu was very lonesome and he was quite heartbroken that his wife left him. And so oftentimes he used to just spend his time just in the forest. So one day, he saw that Ganga is not flowing. Ganga is dry. He became quite curious, what's happening? And how come Ganga is not flowing? So he went along upstream. And then he found that one young boy is shooting arrows after arrows in such a way that Ganga's flow stopped. With arrows, he actually stopped the flow of the river. And he was curious, who is this boy? So at that time, Ganga personally came and told him, this is your son, Devabrata. So now that he has grown up, I came to return him to you. And from then onwards, Shantanu and Devabrata, father and son, became practically constant companions. Like all the time they were together, Shantanu found a real companion out of him. And they were extremely attached to each other. And so one day when Shantanu was also in the forest, that the Devabrata was not with him, he came across an extremely beautiful girl taking the passengers across the river, Ganges. So he became curious to know who she was, and he was quite attracted by her beauty. So he approached her and asked who you are. And she said, I am the daughter of the king of the fishermen. My name is Satyavati. So Shantanu proposed, will you please marry me? So she said, well, then you approach my father. So Shantanu went to Dhivararaj, the father. And when he proposed, the father of this girl, said, I can offer my daughter to you on a condition that her son will become the king. So Shantanu said, well, I already have a son and he has already been coronated as a crown prince, so I can't promise. Then Devaraj said, okay, I'm sorry, then I can't offer you my daughter. So Shantanu saw that it is not going to happen, but still heartbroken, he came back to the palace. Now there is another anecdote, another background. Actually, you see, when someone is born in the Vedic culture, his horoscope or her horoscope is made. From the time of birth, seeing the influence of the stars and planets, her future was kind of designed already. One could see what would happen to her. And her horoscope actually said that her son will become a king. Therefore, he actually made that condition, that I can offer my daughter to you, provided her son will become the king. And it is not that he just like that, he wanted to make that condition. He was actually trying to go along the astrological prediction. And so Shantanu came back very much depressed and dejected. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai. So he came. So Bhishma noticed, Devabrata noticed that his father was looking very sad and depressed. So he asked his father, what happened? Like something wrong? He said, no, nothing is wrong. He denied that something went wrong. So Bhishma went to the charioteer and asked, what actually happened today? So he narrated the whole incident. So Bhishma said, okay, take me to that place. So the chariot driver took him to the Dhivararaj, the king of the fishermen. And Bhishma said, why don't you offer your daughter to my father? And he laid the same condition. It's not that I don't want to offer my daughter to your father. It's my good fortune that, my daughter will get married to such an exalted personality, the king of the entire earth planet. But the thing is that I made a condition that her son has to become the king. So Bhishma said, well, I'm okay, her son will become the king. I am relinquishing my right over the kingdom. Then this person was quite smart. So he said, okay, you may relinquish your claim, but what about your children? Probably in future they'll start fighting over the kingdom. So then Bhishma said, okay, in that case, I won't get married. Now for a Kshatriya not to get married is a very, very difficult vow to take. Because they live in extreme luxury and opulence. And on top of that, they are in the very intense mode, influenced by the intense mode of passion. And to be in that surrounding, surrounded by all kinds of beautiful women, and not to have any attraction for them is a very, very difficult thing. So, when Devabrata took this vow, the demigods started to exclaim, oh, what an amazing vow, what an amazing vow. And that's how he got the name Bhishma. And they started to shower flowers from the heaven. So this is how he made the arrangement for Satyavati to marry his father. So when his father got to know about that, he was so pleased with him. He blessed him that you won't die unless you yourself want to. Therefore, that is called Ichha Mrittu. Dying only when one desired to, otherwise he wouldn't die. So, Shantanu got married to Satyavati. Well, it drags on actually. I'm wondering how much to say and what to skip. Okay, since he started, let's see. He got two sons, Vichitravirja and Chitrangada. And Chitrangada got into a fight with a Gandharva king. His name also was Chitrangada. So Chitrangada, this Gandharva Chitrangada came, because Chitrangada's fame became very well known, widely known. So he came to him and said, look, there has to be only one Chitrangada. Either you or me. So he challenged him in a fight. The fight continued for a long, long time. And in that fight, in that battle, Chitrangada, son of Shantanu, died at a young age. So Vichitravirja was the only successor to the throne. And when Shantanu died, Vichitravirja became the king. And it's a custom that when one ascends the throne as a king, he has to have a queen with him. So he was too young to kind of select a queen. And so Bhishma decided the appropriate match for Vichitravirja are the three daughters of Kashiraj, the king of Benares, Kashi. And they are actually the incarnations of Durga Devi, Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika. And so Bhishma went to the Sayambara of these girls. And he claimed these girls, and in Sayambara, as you know, like when one actually wins the girl, the other kings, other competitors attack them. And Bhishma was attacked by all these kings and he defeated all of them and took the girls. The eldest one, Amba, told him that she actually gave herself to someone else already. So Bhishma said, okay, so you go. So two girls were actually married to Vichitravirja, Ambika and Ambalika. And through them, okay, so Vichitravirja became so attached to these girls. I mean, he was spending all his time with them and he was indulging so much into sense gratification that he developed tuberculosis. And he died. Now, see, this is the irony. She desired that her son would become the king, and Bhishma had to relinquish his right over the kingdom with a vow that he'll never have any claim on the kingdom. And now there is no successor to the throne. So Satavati actually approached Bhishma that you procreate the successor through them. Bhishma declined, no. I have taken a vow of lifelong celibacy, so there is no question of me. Satavati tried to persuade him that, look, it's for my sake that you took the vow and I am telling you to break your vow. But Bhishma was undaunted. And then it was Satavati admitted that she had another son, that is Vasudev, through Parashar Muni. So as I was saying, like, it is not just one thing, you know, one incident leads to so many other incidences. And so then it was decided, okay, then let Vasa come. And Vasa actually, after his birth, left, but he told his mother that whenever you want, you can just call me, I'll come over. So Satavati called Vasa, and Vasa came and she told what she wanted him to do. And so it was told Ambika that your husband's brother, stepbrother or half-brother, will come to have a progeny in your womb. And she was actually thinking that it would be Bhishma. But when Vas came, seeing her frightening appearance, she closed her eyes. And so that's why the child was born blind, Dhritarashtra. They were told that, you know, like Vasa was their brother, I mean father, husband's brother, Devara. Like, this is another thing that was customary, that was permitted in the Vedic time. Five things were permitted in the Vedic time. Ashwamedham, horse sacrifice, Gobalabdham, the cow sacrifice, Sannyas, Palapotrikam, and the Shraddha ceremony, offering meat, and Devarena Sutatpatti, procreating through the brother of the husband at a critical situation. But that has been forbidden in the age of Kali. These five things had been forbidden, which was prevalent otherwise in other time. So anyway, so this time Ambalika, she didn't close her eyes, but seeing Vasudev's fearsome appearance. Like we can well imagine, like their princess living in such opulent environment, surrounded by all handsome people. And here is a person, you know, with long matted hair and, you know, and so forth, you know, burning eyes. tanned complexion. So she became pale out of fear. And as a result of that, the son in her womb was born pale Pandu. So Satyavati understood, actually Vasudev foretold her what would happen. The first son would be blind, and second one will be pale in complexion, as if always in fear. So Satyavati persuaded Ambika that conceive another child. But Ambika, although she didn't tell anything to her, internally she felt nothing doing, I'm not going through this again. So she persuaded her maidservant, also a very young, beautiful woman, to fulfill the desire of the mother-in-law. And as a result of that, Vidura was born in this way. Three children were born out of Vasudev in that family. So, and anyway, Bhishma actually brought them up. As the time passed, Dhritarashtra, the blind, gave birth to 100 sons. He had the hope against hope that although he couldn't become a king, but his children, his son, would be able to become the king. But that also didn't happen, because before Gandhari's son, his wife's son, was born, Yudhishthir was born out of Kunti. Now, you see, in the Vedic culture, the names have their significance. Like as I was saying, Dhritarashtra. Dhrita means trying to hold on to. Rashtra means kingdom. He can't become a king, but he is trying to hold on to his kingdom. So that was the problem with Dhritarashtra. And Prabhupada said he was not only blind of his eyes, but he was also spiritually blind. And it's because of him all that catastrophe in that family actually took place. And as you know, like Bhishmadeva was always so rightful. He was perfect in his decisions according to the scripture. Now, it has been also pointed out by our acharyas that Dhritarashtra's too much attachment to the scriptural injunctions didn't enable him to side with Krishna. The actual understanding is that when it comes to Krishna, you can say goodbye to everything else. Like jnana karmad anabritam. This is jnana mishra bhakti. Too much attachment to the scriptural injunctions. All his actions are kind of designed according to the scriptural injunctions. And Bhishmadeva is one of the 12 Mahajans. But still we see he failed to side with Krishna at the time of battle of Kurukshetra. Because he considered that when one is subservient to the king, he must side with the king. no matter what. No sentiment or emotion should prevail in this respect. And that's what actually happened. And Duryodhan was actually very worried during the battle of Kurukshetra that Bhishma Dev, because of his attachment to Arjuna and Pandavas, he's not going to fight as valiantly as he should. And he was always pushing Bhishma about that. Why aren't you killing them? Why aren't you killing them? But it's not that Bhishma didn't want to kill them, but the thing is that, you know, who can kill somebody when Krishna is protecting him? So anyway, then in the Battle of Kurukshetra, we can see what happened. Bhishma was fighting so valiantly that day Arjuna was in difficulty. Bhishma actually took a vow that today either I will fall or Arjuna will fall. And he was fighting so valiantly that Krishna could foresee some trouble for Arjuna. Krishna took a vow that he wouldn't touch any weapon in this battle. But Krishna couldn't restrain himself. Seeing that condition, Bhishma also took a vow that I will make Krishna pick up a weapon and fight. Or pick up a weapon. He said, I won't touch any weapon. He said, he'll take a weapon. I'd make it a point that he will. So, and that's, it said that Krishna, there's another instance, Krishna would rather break his own promise, but he won't make his devotee's promise to go in vain. So when Bhishma was fighting like that, you know, Arjuna was in such difficulty, Krishna jumped out of the chariot, picked up the wheel of a broken chariot, and he charged. And a wheel in Krishna's hand is what? Sudarshan. So at that point, Bhishma just dropped the weapons. But Arjuna actually prevented Krishna. He saw the painting. He got hold of Krishna's feet and said, please, please don't break your vow. Anyway, and then eventually what happened is Amba became so vengeful that she promised that she would be the cause of Bhishma's death. When Bhishma rejected, actually, so he sent her back. Okay, so if you have given your heart to somebody, then go back to him, Jayadrath. But when she went to Jayadrath, Jayadrath responded that, am I a beggar? Like, you must understand the Kshatriyas are actually very proud people. So he said that, and Bhishma defeated all of them. So, you know, there was already a scar that they have been defeated by Bhishma. And now Bhishma sends this girl back to him because she wanted to marry him. And they must have had some relationship anyway. But they kind of liked each other. But this time he refused. And then she went back to Bhishma, said that he refused. He doesn't want to accept me. Like, as if he is considered that you very, very mercifully sending me back, like giving him some arm. So Bhishma said, look, now what can I do? So she said, you marry me. In a way, you kind of accepted me. When you pulled me onto the chariot, you held me by my hand. And for a man to hold the hand of a woman is like getting married. So Bhishma said, look, whatever may be the thing, but I have taken a vow of lifelong celibacy. And I can never marry anybody. So she went back to her grandfather, and told her about this, her ooze. And so grandfather said, okay, Parashuram is Bhishma's guru, so, and he's my friend, so I will go and ask him. So she took her to Parashuram, and Parashuram heard everything. He said, okay, I'll tell him to marry you. So Parashuram went to Bhishma and so said, Bhishma, you marry her. He said, how can I marry her? I have taken a vow. He said, I'm your guru, I'm telling you, you can break your vow. To break your vow. So Bhishma said, no, I can't. Oh, you are defying your spiritual master, your guru. So come fight with me. So they started to fight. And Bhishma was fighting so valiantly, Parashuram was finding it difficult to defeat him. So at that point he said, Bhishma, I'm so pleased with your heroism. So ask for any boon. Bhishma said, okay, give me the... So according to that boon, you stop fighting with me. So that's how they stopped fighting. So Parashuram went back to his friend, the grandfather of Amba, and told him that, look, I tried and this is what happened. You know, there's nothing can be done about it. So at that time, Amba entered into the fire with desire, intense desire to kill Bhishma. And eventually, she became the daughter of King Drupad, Shikhandi. Although later on, she transformed herself and became a male, but Bhishma knew that he was actually a woman. So Bhishma actually confined to Arjun, there's only one way you can kill me, or you can make me stop fighting, is if you keep Shikhandi in front of your chariot. If you do that, then I won't be able to shoot arrows, because it may hit her, and my vow, I mean, I don't want to hit any woman. I don't want to hurt any woman. So that is the time, actually, Arjun, upon Bhishma's advice, took the opportunity. When Bhishma was not resisting, he just kept on shooting arrows, which pierced practically every single part of Bhishma's body. And as a result of that, when he fell on the bed of arrows. And here we can see, like, one important thing to notice here, that in the Vedic descriptions, you always find that when somebody gets cursed by some exalted personality, that curse actually turns into benediction and becomes the cause of their further advancement. Like, another instance is Nalakuvar and Manigrive. They were cursed to become trees, but as a result of that, they received the mercy of Krishna and got spiritually, became situated spiritually. Same thing with Jaya and Vijay, cursed by four Kumaras, but they were the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, and now they got promoted to Golok Vrindavan. So this is another thing, that one should not be afraid of the curse of a great personality, because the curse will eventually become the cause of their spiritual advancement. So similarly, Bhishma was a Basu, but now he has become Krishna's associate. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. And at the bottom of it, then, what is Prabhupada is saying? That anybody can achieve the position of Bhishma Dev, live his body in such a way that he can go back to Godhead, provided he practices the process that has been presented, the ninefold devotional service, starting with hearing and chanting. So this opportunity is open to everyone, provided one practices the process properly. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.